Our text today will be taken from Philippians chapter 3, verses 1 through 11. Philippians chapter 3, verses 1 through 11. I'm walking around without my glasses like I can see something, Brother Lee. Philippians chapter 3, verse 1 through 11. As soon as you have it, do your stand-up aerobics, those who are able. Philippians chapter 3, verse 1 through 11 reads, "Finally, my brothers, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things to you is no trouble to me and is safe for you. Look out for the dogs. Look out for the evildoers. Look out for those who mutilate the flesh." Verse number 3. "We are the circumcision who worship by the Spirit of God and glory in Christ Jesus and put no," what church? "Confidence in" what? "The flesh. Though I myself," this is Paul talking, "though I myself have reason for confidence in the flesh also, if that was the case. If anyone else thinks that he has a reason for confidence in" what, church? "The flesh. I have more." Yeah. Verse number 5 reads, "Circumcised on the" what, church? "Eighth day," which is the prescribed duty of a Jewish family to actually have their child circumcised on the eighth day. Also, he's of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin. And he's a Hebrew of Hebrews. He's a big shot. "As to the law, a Pharisee; as to zeal, a persecutor of the church; as to the righteousness under the law, blameless. But whatever gain I had," listen, the scenario, "I struggled, I've been swimming, but I'm going down. But whatever gain I had, I counted as loss for the sake of Christ." Verse number 8, "Indeed, I counted everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. For his sake, you all, I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish or scubalon in order that I may gain Christ." And verse number 9 says, "and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which comes through faith in Christ. The righteousness from God that depends on faith, that I may know him and in the power and the power of his resurrection, and may share his sufferings," and share his sufferings, "becoming like him in his death, that by any means possible," sound like Malcolm X talking up in here, "by any means possible, I may attain the resurrection from the dead." Amen. Amen. We finally made through that. You may be seated. Our sermon subject this morning is confidence in Christ alone. Confidence in Christ alone. Of course, taken out of Philippians chapter 3, verse 1 through 11. These are our points, which I will not belabor the points. We're going to run right through this. We're going to get what we need to get out of this thing. And everybody has that hungry look in their eyes and not lying-like, but hungry look. Paul reminds the church, verse number 1. Paul warns the church, verse 2 through 6. Paul gives the right perspective on where their confidence should be. Everybody with me? Number one, Paul reminds the church. Let me give you a little history. First of all, Paul is in jail, Pastor, and he's writing this from jail. And if you notice, Paul is always talking about rejoice. Pray without ceasing. And he's talking, Pastor, from a jail situation. Now listen, wherever he goes to establish a church, there are people who are hot on his trail called Judaizers. And their preference is that they call people who are outside of the Jewish faith dogs. And they call them evildoers because they are outside the household of faith. Paul warns them. He says, rejoice in the Lord, for this will keep you safe. And he knows that there will be those that will follow him that are going to try to subvert everything that he has taught. Is that still an issue today, church? Yes, it is. For we have people on TV, Brother Brian, that are talking about money and not holiness. They're talking about Cadillacs and not living like you're supposed to live in Christ. And we have some churches, Brother Ernest, that allow them to come in because they get a big crowd. The Bible says there is a wide way and there is a narrow way. There are those who are subverting the gospel so that they can gain people to increase their congregations. But lo and behold, they are in trouble in Jesus' name. You are perverting the household of faith. Acts chapter 5, verse 41, 40 to 41. And it reads you all. This is the context. The apostles are in trouble for preaching in the name of Jesus. And they tell them to stop preaching in the name of Jesus, and they continue. Now, this is rather interesting. It says, now when they were let go, and when they had called in the apostles, they beat them and charged them not to speak in the name of Jesus and let them go. Verse 41 says, then they left the presence of the council, what? Rejoicing. Wait a minute. Listen. Whatever is on the inside of you will come out under pressure. You say you're a Christian? When trials come and situations come, what is the result of the output of that? Can someone say, yeah, Lay's a Christian? He jacked somebody up on the job. He just lost his temper. I ain't telling nothing. But listen, whatever it is under pressure and it comes out of you, that's what's in you. Paul's trying to tell them, listen, now these guys here, they get beat and they leave rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer dishonor for the name of Christ. Wait a minute. There was another instance, Paul and Silas in jail. Were they going to a prayer meeting and didn't get to the prayer meeting? They were stopped and put in jail. But the Bible is clear. At midnight, they were what? Praying and singing praises to the Lord. Now, previous to that, they beat them well. They had stripes on their back. But if God is in your heart, it don't matter about the stripes on your back. Because if God be for you, he's more than the world against you. Hey, I'm almost through. Somebody said amen. Let me hurry up here. Paul now warns the Philippians about dogs and evildoers. As we talk, listen, this is ironic. the very people, the very Jews, brother, that call the outsiders dogs and evildoers, now the Apostle Paul is now calling them dogs and evildoers because they are now standing outside the household of faith. Didn't get that? Okay. They were once calling the Gentiles dogs and evildoers, but now Paul is calling them dogs and evildoers because they are trying to subvert the church of God. Listen, anything that is added to the gospel is not the gospel. They were talking about circumcision. You need to be circumcised in order to be saved. I don't think so. Because if there are any works on the gospel, you all, it's not what? Grace anymore. It is works. Paul goes on to say the real circumcision is of what, church? The heart. In the Old Testament, like we discussed this morning, Pastor, those outside symbols of circumcision pointed to something different. It always pointed to the inside of the situation. You had an outward circumcision, but it really pointed to what was on the what? Inside. You had a physical circumcision, but what it really pointed to was what was going to happen to my heart on the inside. There was going to be a change by the Spirit of God on the inside. Paul goes on to say the real circumcision is of the heart. He goes on to say, if anyone should have confidence in the flesh, it is he himself. Romans chapter 2, verse 28 and 29 states, for no one is a Jew who is merely one outwardly who tries to keep the law. Every Sunday morning when I get a chance to do the offering, I try to convey to you that it's really an inside thing. You're giving the money on the outside, but it's really inside things. It shows what's going on the inside. Nor is circumcision outward and physical. But a Jew is one inwardly, and circumcision is a matter of the heart by the Spirit, not by the letter. His praise is not from man, but from who? God. Paul gives the right perspective on where their confidence should be. Verses 7 through 11. Paul uses his own accomplishments. That boy was bad, you all. Let's go back there. Time-wise, I'm not going to go there. He is a Jew of Jews, Hebrew of Hebrews, circumcised on the eighth day, taught by Gamaliel, and he said, now, if anybody has a reason to boast, it's me, because all of my accomplishments are far above a whole lot of people. He was raised in Judaism himself. He was a bad boy. And if anybody had reason to say, we can do this by the works of the law, it was him. But what he really said is that in order to gain Christ, you all, I'm willing to throw all of that away because Christ is more important than my accomplishments. And my accomplishments will have me struggling in the water, you all, and I'm trying to save my life, and I can't do that because I'm trying to do it myself. No. I need the Spirit of God on the inside, the circumcision. A heart that has been changed by the Spirit of God wants to know Christ on a deeper level. Is that right? 2 Corinthians 5:17 is a clear indication of someone who really, really wants to know God. It says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. There is a changed life in the life of a believer. What is the guy's name with the bald head that had a wig on all the time, Pastor? What's that guy's name? He does a Family Feud, Audrey.
Oh, Steve Harvey.
Steve Harvey, yeah. That was bad, wasn't it? Don't laugh, sister. What he said one time, Pastor, he said he was cursing and doing all this type stuff, and he said he's a Christian. And his statement to that was, listen, God ain't through with me yet. Well, I could go for that if your life shows some type of change. But every time I see Steve Harvey, we got lewd situations going on with him. If any man is in Christ, he is a what? New creature. Listen, what I used to do with my arms and my legs and my thought process was buried in sin, and I could not say no to it. The Bible says, listen, once I'm in Christ, what I used to be, these instruments used to be used for unrighteousness. But now, since I'm in Christ, they are what? Dedicated to what? Righteousness.
Amen.
Hey, what does that say? Conclusion? It says eternal works cannot save. So eternal works cannot save, only the blood of Jesus saves. The righteousness of Christ allows us to stand before a holy God. There is, if you think that you are going to stand before God because your works outweigh your bad works, you're in trouble. You're in trouble. The only way we can stand before God is by the blood of what? Jesus Christ. And anything else is a perversion of the gospel. Anything adding to the work of salvation is a hybrid. Okay. I'm all through. Now, that was painless, wasn't it? I didn't see nobody sleep, so I didn't call nobody. Amen. Amen. In conclusion, this is, yeah, funny, ain't it, brother? This is the gospel. Adam and Eve messed up in the garden. God in Genesis 3:15 says there's going to be a seed of the woman. He's going to crush the head of the serpent, and the serpent is going to bite him on the heel. God sends his son. That's a look of the gospel right in Genesis 3:15. In the darkest man's hour, he sends the greatest message. There is hope. And then the very one who was deceived will be the very one that the salvation pastor will come through. Jesus was born exactly what the Bible said that he would be born, of a virgin. He lived, he died, he got up again. And anybody that the Spirit of God draws to him can be saved. The Bible says anyone who calls on the name of Jesus, what? Will be saved. That is the gospel. Amen. We're all through in Jesus' name. There's a big sigh of relief. Amen. Amen. So, take a second to think of that whirlwind tour that I took you on. And after that, I'll be back to feel the rotten apples.